In this episode of Super Drag Race Tea Time, it's a lip sync extravaganza as the eliminated queens return and get a chance to get back into the competition. Gary and Damon give us the lowdown on the Lollapalooza Challenge, who lip syncs their way back into the race for the All Stars Hall of Fame. Crank up your favorite routine and put on your best cat suit as COL Drag Race Tea Time All Stars Season 4, Episode 6 starts now. RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, kitty girls, it's COL Drag Race Tea Time. It happens to be January 21st? 21st.
Yes.
It's a Monday. We're a day tardy to the party because your co-host here had other things to do, so we're trying to get all caught up on this business.
Yeah.
For those of you that do not know, my name is Gary. With me is my ever-fabulous co-star.
Hello, everyone. It's Damon.
Hi, it's me. Damon.
I don't know what to do with you.
I know what to do with me, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, well. My.
So shall we get into this one?
It's All-Star Season 4 is what we're working on right now, and it's Episode 6, Lollapalooza. I don't know how I feel about the name of this episode, but anyways.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of things that we're going to try to discuss, but the show might go quickly because I think you and I are on the same page on some shit.
Probably.
Or most of it, if not all of it. So first, let's listen to this a little bit.
Prior to tonight, you were asked to prepare lip sync performances of 4 of my songs. And for the occasion, I have chosen to waive the licensing fees on 2 of the songs. Each of these boxes contains a different track. Do you choose box number 1, box number 2, box number 3, or box number 4? Choose wisely.
So, whole different kind of episode in the history of All Stars. We've had 4 seasons now, and here's our judging panel. We got Ross Matthews, Michelle Visage, Carson Kressley, and RuPaul herself. No guest judges. Nobody gets the ability, the privilege, the honor, or anything to be in on this one.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. That it was treated like a special edition kind of episode, if you want to call it of that sort.
Agreed.
And as we heard, there's new rules for this particular episode. So if you weren't aware, 4 of the queens came back that were eliminated. They now can pick amongst 4 other queens. And it's a one-to-one kind of lip sync battle royale. If the returning queen wins, she gets to say she sends home a not yet eliminated queen. So the interesting thing that they did, though, that I kind of liked was this. They got to pick a song, but of course we have to do it in RuPaul fashion. So we brought out the pit crew.
Mm-hmm.
This pit crew is different than usual.
Mm-hmm.
This print crew does have Bryce in it, the ginger, Mr. Number 4.
Uh-huh.
Jason is missing. I don't know what happened. And then Sean's back.
Yeah.
Mr. Number 1.
Uh-huh.
You can search on Google Images for lovely pictures of him.
Uh-huh.
Like you would see on Tumblr. I'm just going to say. So.
Oh, Sean. He's my favorite pit crew member ever.
Yeah.
He's just so adorable and well, sexy. He has this something about him. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Really? Because you could just kind of, you know.
No, I can't. No,
I mean, but you wouldn't want to put a finger on it. You might want to put like 5. Yeah.
Yes.
Something like that.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so
So let's
what just get into it, David. Like, what are your thoughts on the lip sync versus, and to clarify for everyone, because this episode's a little different, we're going to talk about lip sync as a challenge versus runway, meaning how they looked in the lip sync.
Yeah.
So
I put down not as gagged. And the reason is, I think you and I agree that we're dealing with a very similar thing that they've not done in the past. It's kind of the show's like trope is lip sync for your life, where two queens are pretty much battling to stay into the competition. So it's not new. Mm-hmm. The only kind of new thing is that it's now here's an opportunity to do something to get back in All Stars. It's kind of new for All Stars, because especially since season two, they've been doing the more lip sync for your legacy as opposed to lip syncing for your life. Mm-hmm. So it's new for All Stars. It's not necessarily new for the queens on the show. So, I'm not as gagged, because it everything that we see, like we're seeing right now, everything that we're seeing and we saw in the episode is I expect it. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing your lip syncing for the songs, RuPaul songs. There was a lot of this, like leotards and dresses and reveals and everything. It was all kind of like a la like the finales of the last couple of seasons, where, you know, is there going to be a reveal? Of course there's going to be a fucking reveal. Look at what she's wearing. Like,
right.
So the dance around, of course they're fucking planning on dance around. Look at what they're wearing.
Well, and that's the case in point when we get into looks. Like, I'm not really surprised necessarily by some of the attire, because there's been discussion over and over again about the fact that the body needs to be able to move. This is not about couture, you know, Valentina's gilded rope and silk thing where she has make, you know,
literally,
you know, down the hall.
This was meant for, this is more for function than fashion.
Yeah. So for me, I wrote predictable ? Because the end results, which we'll get to in a little bit, were not shocking necessarily. Mm-hmm. Were not all that surprising. The matchups were not necessarily big shocking news. My hypothetical theory still stands for All Stars 5 and going forward. If you're going to do this shit, like, you know, if I think it's perfectly fine to allow queens to be picked multiple times. The way they put this one together, they went backwards in reverse order of elimination for who got to pick amongst the other, you know, pre-selected four that are limited. So you kind of had no choice in a way to who you got if you weren't recently eliminated.
Yeah.
And that was something about the rules. I was like, that seems like a lot of control and manufacturing of the situation.
Yeah. I was very, like, I like the idea, but I also, for those who haven't seen the episode, I think are we going to talk about it? No, maybe in a minute. But, like, it was very much a decision that they wanted to make to kind of keep it as fair as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person who was just eliminated was the person that's apparently lasted the longest, so they should get, like, the best option, and then you kind of go down the list. So as you're looking at this here, so it goes, they're in order, you know, left to right, first, second, third, and fourth eliminated, you know, most recently eliminated. And then so for show they went backwards, so Latrice had the most people to choose from, followed by Gia, followed by Farrah, followed by Jasmine.
Right,
so Jasmine pretty much got whoever was left.
Who the other three didn't want to lip sync against.
Exactly. So, oh well. It made sense. And it also, like you said, it kind of worked out in its own way. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So I like the matchups were not necessarily surprising in that case. So Why don't we talk about looks?
Yes. Put the bass in your wall.
All right, so first of all, we have to make a recognition that Manila and Monet are immune.
Yes.
So Miss Manila and Miss Monet served up looks and did not have to do a damn thing but stand slash sit in the back and watch each of the four rounds take place. There was a brief moment where I thought, are they going to get to sit with judges panel or like off to the side of judges panel to the front? No, they had to stay in the back.
No.
So that was
we ain't, don't get it twisted.
Right.
We're still in a competition. Like you just lucky right now.
Cause
right. Hey, so, and I like their looks.
Yeah.
So Fountain Manila is serving us like spaghetti and meatballs, picnic runway, eleganza. Mm-hmm. It's very pretty. It's very her. No, it's kooky with the. It's glamorous with a side of kooky.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. Yeah. And then you got Monet, who gives us. I hate to say it. I call it basic. This is a very basic general like drag queen kind of staple. I like the silvery or grayish kind of tone to the dress, but it's. I'm glad she chose to wear this now as opposed to like, here's your best runway look. Give us your eleganza. Nope. No. It's pretty.
Right.
I like it. I like the hair. I like everything that goes with it. It's just.
Right. I'm kind of torn up about this because here's the thing. I think Monet's hair looks great. I think her mugs, looks well. I don't mind the dress, but because of her skin tone, it's confusing because it kind of looks like it's supposed to be a nude illusion, but it's definitively not a nude illusion because the fabric isn't near like the right kind.
Yeah.
And then her tights that she's wearing underneath make her legs look more like the skin color that's supposed to be the fabric for the nude illusion, not her arms. Like, it's just one of these things where I'm like, girl, like this would not be acceptable in a pageant. Sorry.
Yeah. I would have liked it if he was going for the non-nude illusion to have worn like a glove of the same color to kind of just like an opera glove to kind of give it hell. This is not meant to be like a nude illusion. This is meant to be like,
right.
This is the color of the dress. It just happens to be a close enough color to nude illusion, but it's not really nude.
Right.
And it's not a good color on her.
Mm-hmm.
The blue is, but the other color is not.
Well, so I like the glove idea that you said, Damon. I think if you're going to do the glove in the same kind of fabric as the dress, go totally different with the tights. Do stuff that looks truly sheer to your real skin tone and then make the shoes match either the blue in the dress or the fabric. That's what will help kind of tie it together. But I agree with you. The difference between Manila and Monet in this case of being immune is really stark. Like Monet looks like she's like, okay, I'm immune. I just need to look pretty. Let me grab one of my backup dresses that I don't expect to use for the rest of the season. Won't need. I got a look put together. I look nice. That's fine.
Yeah.
And then you got Manila who's like, I brought something. Screw this noise. I'm going to give you high fashion, and that's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with that. So.
Yeah. So are we ready for me to talk?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So I put down who's ready to get leotarded. And the main reason is I literally wrote down like a lot of dance outfits. Like everyone's ready to like perform. Like, so we get through, as you're going to go through these, we get through the looks, and everyone is pretty much wearing something along the lines of, we didn't technically see Trillies until the reveal, but like right. you're wearing something to perform in, you're wearing something to dance in, you're wearing something to move around in.
Right.
Given what we know the songs were, there was not going to be a slow ballot for RuPaul from RuPaul for this season. We weren't going to get like Champion or something like that. We were definitely getting her more fun, dancey songs. Mm-hmm. So everyone kind of wore something either to reveal or to dance in.
Right.
Everyone. There was no getting out of this. Oh, Latrice, we need to talk about that. Like, here up, I'm loving. From, like, the fringe up, like, but we shouldn't have worn the black, the very black pantyhose there, or tights there, because it just, it don't look good. It don't look good. But anyway, so yeah, like I said, everyone wore something to kind of do the lip sync for your life Lollapalooza right. I'm not hating it, but they knew this is what we're going for.
Well, I think the girls knew going into it what the four songs were as a possibility. And therefore they immediately were all like, okay, I need shit that I can jump around in. I need stuff that I can do kicks in, stuff I can, you know, do shablams, death drops, splats, the whole bit. Like, just be ready for that kind of that higher energy kind of stuff. And that drove the decisions that they made. You know, whether it's pantsuits, catsuit type, you know, modification. And all that. I agree with you. Like, that. Yeah, I'm not surprised on the amount of leotards that ended up coming up in this case. And that my feeling on it was functional versus fashion. And this is sort of an representative on the screen. Like, so we've got Gia, we've got Naomi. They were teamed together. Gia initially comes out in a cover-up, which explains why it looked a little weird. Like, it fit, but it looked like it fit strangely. Like, it wasn't as tight form-fitting as it should
be.
Oh, that's because it's a one piece and she just has a velcroed in the back and then she like whips it off.
Yeah.
And then we get the gold dancing number. And so
I will say this much. I wish whoever made her either the top outfit or the bottom outfit had given her just like an inch or two more of the fabric at the bottom for the cover. Because either taking, because what ended up happening, because I saw it and just on my one viewing, I saw the fringe in the back fall out of the, and I was like, oh, well, that's kind of ruined. And to me, that's my problem. Like, once the illusion is gone,
right,
it's gone. Like, I knew it was a cover up, you know. And while it looks nice and like it's, oh, but she's in a schoolgirl outfit and da da da, he he he, whatever.
Right.
It the minute I saw the fringe drop out the bottom, it was the back of the dress. Illusion shattered. It's now a cover-up, full-on cover-up. I don't care what it looks like anymore.
Right. Well, and I get that. And I missed that in the viewing, so I didn't catch that part necessarily. The thing for me about if you're doing reveals, what I found kind of comical is, so like our first matchup is Jasmine versus Trinity. Trinity is obviously hiding something.
Yeah,
because she's got this big ass black cape thing on that doesn't fit or hang correctly because we've got this like teal sequin lining thing on the inside. It was very like, I'm like, girl, what is going on? Like, if you're going to Phantom of the Opera this shit and wear, you know, a big old black cloak down to the floor, then wear it right. Like, it just, I don't know. It bugged me that it was longer in the back. And in this case, what we're seeing is the revealed look with the boots and the, as it was said in the fashion photo review, it's sort of a fashion bondage-y kind of like look, which I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know if I'd call it that. But so for me, yeah, it was really more about like the
function
and whether or not there was fashion. To me, many of these were very functional. I actually like Farrah's a lot. I like the colors that are in it. You know, I just like, if I was to see her live, I would really love this outfit. Like, I think it's really good.
Was my favorite.
Yeah. I have to give it to Valentina. She came strutting out looking like, you know, a Hollywood starlet in this, you know, burgundy wine kind of colored, you know, pant number with gold accents. So You know, you could tell, like, some people were really thinking about it and some people were kind of relying on other stuff. Like, Gia, I felt, was really relying on a dance ensemble kind of, you know, competitive number look. Naomi really, really surprised me. It was the one out of all the looks that I went, oh my. And part of it was because it was so bare minimal.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of torn up on whether I wanted more. Like, should there be more to this? Should there have been a reveal to this? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Well,
I don't. Given what, so we'll talk about Naomi here for a second, because I will admit, I kudos to her on this, like, look as we're looking at it. She had, if you know, after they got off the, they did the walk, then they came back on. She eventually had this, like, stole on one side for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, it basically got taken off because, you know, she's not going to dance around in that. But it was very much like, oh, this is a very, like, revealing look. Like, there is not much coverage anywhere.
Well, the truth is, to look at her in this, I could see where some men would not believe this is not a woman.
Yeah.
Like, because they're probably thinking, well, where does she put it? Like, because, well, you know, she's given Trinity, you know, the run for the money on the tuck part in this particular outfit.
Exactly. And I will say that it is giving me not classic Naomi, but it's very much what I've seen of her. Mm-hmm. So she's known for her body and she's known for her legs. And this is very much a thing for her to kind of wear as little as possible. Remember, she was wearing it for a long time in her season. She was not, or clocked for wearing basically a robe and some lingerie for a long time.
I have to say, when she walked out, and the more I thought about this look, I thought it was very Fredericks of Hollywood catalog, like vintage late 80s, early 90s, if you remember when that stuff was coming out. Like, so it was this, like, stripper, hooker, BDSM kind of, like, crossover look, and not being disparaging of it, I don't think that this is, like, a replica. I just think that's the wheelhouse I kind of see this being served in. And it, to me, it's different for Naomi, because I agree with you. Like, she always seems to be kind of serving some model sexiness, and this is still some of that, but this one's definitely kind of going a little bit in a different direction. So, and then in the function versus fashionable, or the fashion, Latrice is just, I hate to say it, pulling out a dance number, you know, costume. Like, yeah.
Not a dance costume. Yep. That's full on straight pageant dance costume with the fringy on around the hips so that you can move a lot and get a lot of movement.
Right.
And a tight, like, bodice up top, you know, with some kind of, like, and honestly, it's usually a two-toned or maybe three-toned sparkle or glitter fabric. It is literally like pageant staple number one, you know, kind of thing. When you want a dance outfit, like, this is what you go for. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, like, this is
right. Now, to be fair, Miss Monique Hart is not necessarily giving us anything new here either. Like,
correct.
Her ooh-ah-ah sensation is just big hair with a big, you know, fringy, ruffly wrap, you know, and it's kind of a dance leotard underneath with big thigh-high boots. Like, like, both of them right now on the screen are giving me exact looks that I have seen queens do performances in bars, like, that are not a Rue Girl. Like, so there's nothing, like, revolutionary about these, you know, particular runway looks, you know, if for dancing and
love that
and sinking against it, sinking. So I'm not trying to be, you know, highly critical. It's just, it's interesting how it seems really definitive that they fell into two camps. Well, one was consistency across the board. Everybody wanted something functional for dancing. And the second one was whether it was really traditional, like, you kind of see it all the time or have seen it before. And then there's just a couple where I felt they were trying to give us something a little more in that case. It was interesting, to say the least.
It was interesting. And groupedly.
Yeah.
All right.
So we've got More information about new rules in this case, because it's a Lollapalooza, of course.
Ooh.
Two all-stars stand before me. In a moment, I'll ask one of you to chante, which means stay, and one of you to sashay away forever. Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me and save yourself from a final elimination. The time has come for you to lip sync for your life. Good luck, and don't fuck it up.
I was highly amused by the fact that the don't fuck it up this week was in four different styles and its delivery in this case. So, yeah, let's kind of get into the stuff. First up is Trinity and Jasmine doing Peanut Butter by RuPaul. So, as we said, they went in backwards order for selection, but then their performances were done going again and forward from the first eliminated to the last eliminated. So what this means is Jasmine had no choice but to take Trinity to compete against because nobody else picked Trinity.
Correct.
Which kind of could be read in a shady way as nobody wanted to compete against Trinity because they might have thought that she's fierce enough as a competitor, they ain't in no mood to lose to her.
Well, possibly. I'll say this much. So, again, I'm going on like history. Trinity was the first eliminated in the final like lip sync for your life in her season. Because she went up against Peppermint, and Peppermint is a lip sync assassin, and she got killed. So, but does that mean that she's not a great lip syncer? No, it means that Trinity has done a lot, and she's been like what we've known of Trinity is she performs really fucking well. She does a lot for it. So to go up against her, you need to be sure.
Right.
You're absolutely sure you can beat her.
You need to have the conviction that Trinity was bringing the entire episode. I was highly amused by this whole thing that apparently Gia Gunn was like pot stirring and Trinity was having none of it and calling her out on it. And then she was like, she's like, I don't know why you're doing this. That is not like my storyline. Like, I mean, she just
was my narrative. Right. Yes.
She just kept calling it out. She's like, I am not nervous. I am not worried. And I believe Trinity. I'm sorry. Like, you could say maybe the edit gave it more to Trinity, but I'm like, nope. Girl is a pageant queen, has competed repeatedly. So has Gia, technically. Jasmine, however, to my knowledge, has done minimal, like, competing. So, in a way, it was a very unfair, like, lineup for the two of them, because while Jasmine has more years of experience, Trinity, on the other hand, is like a shark in the water, like for blood.
Yeah.
She refused to lose. That was just the end of
it. Yeah. Trinity gave no fucks. Like, she was literally like, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I need to do, and I'm going to do it. And that's that. Like, that was it. And I loved her whole like narrative to Gia about like, this is not my narrative. This, you know, don't put that in there. You may think I'm nervous, but I am not. And I agree with you. I totally believe Trinity in these moments. She was very much like, I'm not necessarily stone faced. She is not giving a face, but she's not covering up anything. She is literally like, I got this.
Right.
Bring it.
Right. And it kind of came across in the performance.
Yeah.
This particular lip sync, I did not feel in any way, shape, or form that it was nail biting, or I was not on the edge of my seat. Like, when it was done, I kind of felt it was obvious who was going to stay and who was going to go.
Yep.
In this case, which I guess I'll say that I'll play this just to be safe. Because this is, like, if we haven't spoiled enough as it is, like, here's where we start to get in the nitty gritty. Trinity wins.
Yeah.
And Jasmine goes home. Mm-hmm. And Jasmine is not mad about it.
And that's the thing. I will say this much. Like, so I'll go kind of into, because this was part of my little critique about this part of it. Mm-hmm. I said turn it out or fall. Mm-hmm. And that was my thing. Like, you either have to do really fucking well or you're just not going to win. And of the performances, a lot of the queens, I think, turned it out really well. And I will even give it up to Jasmine for trying.
Okay.
But there was a point in time during her lip sync where I felt like I don't want to say gave up, but I think she just was like, there's no way. Like, there was a moment in time where her energy energy dropped, and it looked like she was just going through it to get through it.
Okay.
For lack of a better term.
I thought you were going to say something else, which is that there were three distinct times in lip sync in which it seems she needed better to know the words.
Well, that too. But there was I don't think she knew this song as well as she thought she did.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, I am shook that there was not a narrative about Jasmine not knowing the words. Because I was like, I was like, this is not a good edit. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of becoming obvious that you don't know the words. Like, the one was when she like flipped her hair and you couldn't see her face. And I was like, well, that's a cover up. Like, and it's not that every hair flip that covers a face is covering up that you don't know the words, but there's some convenience to that. Kind of like when you're dancing and then you put your hand in front of your face, you know, like,
oh
yeah, there's things like that that I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
So
the quick, like, yeah, it was, yeah, there was like not a lack of energy, but I feel like there was a loss of energy.
Yeah.
She tried, but again, I think I agree with you that I think she had her moments where it could have gone better. Yeah. I don't know if this was the song she was like, oh shit, why did I get this one? You know, Peanut Butter is not I don't think that's an easy song to lip sync because it's fast.
All right, I'm going to say this about all four of these songs because they're all RuPaul songs. Apparently, she released the rights to two of them, not to two, whatever the fuck that's about. I think it's just a joke.
Yeah.
I know all four of these songs. I'm a RuPaul fan. I'm going to say this emphatically going forward. Season 11 cast, season 12 cast, all the all-stars. It's RuPaul's Drag Race. If you want to help win this show, no matter what season you're on, you best know who the fuck RuPaul is and her music. Period. So I am not having this business about these queens competing in the lip sync, especially on an all-star season, and not knowing the words to the songs. Like, needing a refresher? Absolutely fine. I'm okay with that. But not knowing the lyrics to the Queen Mother? Oh, give me a break. Uh-uh. I ain't got time for that. No, ma'am. No.
And
Peanut Butter is not hard. Do you know what most of the song is? Peanut Butter. Come on. I mean, yeah. So Big Frida comes in and there's like a spoken rap thing. Not that difficult. You know? Like, it just was a problem for me. Anyways.
Yeah. So kind of my big one is like, so we go to the next lip sync and that's Valentina and Farrah. And I actually even wrote this down. Mm-hmm. This is the best I've seen Farrah.
All right. I thought this particular lip sync was the one that everyone was waiting for.
Correct.
Like, out of the four of them, they thought if there was anybody that anybody wanted to see matched up, they wanted to see the Farrah versus Valentina moment and who could really deliver on it. I already know, though, that Valentina is not to be messed with. Like,
true.
She's really kind of coming now to me more than anything, despite things about her personality, which we'll talk about later. If I put that aside, she's really kind of rising to a Manila kind of level, like polished, got it together, conceptually has a look and really can't be fucked with. So, and it's nothing against Farrah, but Farrah is really kind of coming across as like a baby drag queen, which she's not, but like, I don't know if, you know, more and more years of performing will give her that edge, that, you know, fire or not.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I think there are some queens who are highly competitive that are out, you know, to shiv another queen. And then there are those that are just, I'm just here to have fun and perform. And then, well, that's nice, you know, and then that's kind of it.
Yeah. And I will say, like, she gave me enough. Like, this, I'm glad that she got her a little bit of her confidence back to where she was able to do this and do it well. So that's why I give my props to Farrah. I knew when the lip sync started, like, not knew when it started, about halfway through, I knew she was done.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. Call it edit, call it whatever.
Right.
It was, I knew halfway through that she's not going to, there's just not going to be enough there.
Right.
So,
I mean, and in their performances, there was a distinct difference. Valentina knew what the song was, knew what the lyrics were, and decided to play up the whole kitty cat thing. Mm-hmm. And that is probably on the nose a bit, but it worked. Like, you know, some of her movements and that and her gestures, I was like, she's tapping in and knowing what is going on in this case. So it was Valentina versus Farrah and Kitty Girl. Not necessarily a surprise. Valentina wins.
Yeah.
So we're two rounds down and two of the queens
I know
that have come back have also not won. So that's kind of where we land on that one.
Yeah.
Then we move into the third round, which is Naomi versus Gia. They get to do Adrenaline in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the stole that you were referencing to earlier, this beautiful red stole. It's more a bit of a prop. This is Gia in the before, where before she does the reveal of the outfit that's underneath. This one I was kind of like, eh. And I don't mean like to be disparaging about it, but either could have worn one. I mean, I would have been annoyed if Gia won, but, you know, it wasn't meaning something to me necessarily. However, this was the definitive moment of the performance, possibly the whole episode in the lip sync.
Yes. Yes. This. Like, come on, Naomi. So, one of the things I think I'm going to – this was my, like, turn it out moment, like, for me. One of the two for me is, like – we've known Naomi to be this very fashion queen and very posy and everything. And I think for a lot of people, we underestimate her ability to do stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't get into the top of her season by just coasting through. She never just coasted.
Right.
She showed out when she needed to.
Right.
And this is one of these moments where she needed to show out. She was in the bottom last time. She's been safe for most of this season.
Mm-hmm.
But so this was the time where, oh, fuck, my rest of my life with the show is on the line here. So I need to do something. And she did. And this was that. Like, this whole
– this like, this backbend limbo under the stick move.
Yeah.
And then she – and I thought – I was so worried when she got this far down and a little further – that she was going to snap. Like, you know what and I don't mean break, but like that those heels and the shoes would flip out from underneath her. Like, and it was going to, you know, kind of not go well. But I was shocked as to how much body and core control of her muscles she has, that she just basically kind of glides herself down like a snake. And like, I was just like, oh shit. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, don't be messing. Don't be sleeping on Naomi. In this case. And then we get to the round of the four. Oh, before I forget, we should probably say Naomi won. So that's three rounds and all three returning girls do not win. Then we end up with the dun dun dun. The matchup that was kind of predictable because Latrice was dropping these big old turds all over the place, leaving a trail. If you couldn't figure it out, that she was going to pick Monique Hart because Monique sent her home, and that she was trying to create this narrative that Monique saved Monet because they're friends. And I love the confessionals because Monique's doing this whole clapback.
Yep.
Like, girl, this is your third season. Well, we don't count season one. I don't care. This is your third season on here, and all you're reserving is the same thing over and over again, and you're not really bringing anything new. And in the report card, you were in the bottom. Like, I mean, it was just this whole. I love that.
Go ahead. Like, Monique has a very good way of serving facts and serving tea. She has a very good tea-like service. Like, she can open up her own shop kind of thing. Like, because it's true. And she says, and I love the fact that she said in the very beginning, she said, like, no, this is the truth. This is the fact. Like, I did not eliminate you because Monet was my friend. That was Manila who was going to save you because you were her friend.
Right.
Don't get it twisted.
Right.
She didn't say that, but that's like me.
Right.
And you know, then you kind of, she's kind of like, she had a better report card, and it's true at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And I like that Monet defended Monique as well. So it's like this whole, like, you have your own kind of narrative in your head, and that's however you want to believe. And if that's what you believe, then that's what you believe, and that's it.
Right. So Monique versus Latrice was round four, and the song was Sissy That Walk. So the two of them are dancing and competing. And we get wig reveals out of both these ladies.
Uh-huh.
And then Monique even has a costume change reveal.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they were kind of
wigs flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Stuff and dress parts, and
it wasn't
suddenly a fan.
It wasn't Propapalooza, thank God. Because if they'd pulled Shanji shit, I would have been really annoyed. I ain't got time for that. I've already expressed how I feel about that. But in this case, it was more about, you know, changing hairs and doing things like that, which I thought was fun. It added an extra element to things. Latrice wins.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very interesting outcome.
Yeah.
And Monique wins.
Yay.
And so I'm like, okay, so we just had a whole episode to possibly switch up the entire cast, and actually we went up plus one. Because Latrice is
back. Where's the, like, shade? Where's the shade sound?
Well, there's this whole online conspiracy theory that Valentina was going to get eliminated no matter what at the end of the last episode. And so production stepped in, and now we put these new rules into place, and we have a whole episode to save Valentina's ass. I don't know how true it is, but you can't dispute it so far in that. For the lip sync for your legacy, I basically said, was it what we wanted? And I'm leaving that as a question. It was okay. Like, I just, I wasn't on the edge of my seat. There was nothing super exciting about it, in my opinion, in that case. So I was like, so there's that thing. And you've got these two who, you know, are on the sidelines, and they're immune, which is kind of an oddity, and probably piss some of the other queens off, to be quite frank. And so, you know, we've got one serving up a hot, tasty dish of couture. The other one, like we talked about, is just, you know, has just kind of a look, so to speak. I'm not really sure if I feel that where we are with this particular episode, we are making big new strides.
I think it was, like we said before, it's kind of a predictable, like, you put your little question mark. I feel this was something that was going to happen when they didn't immediately, quote unquote, eliminate Monique. I knew she wasn't going to be eliminated. If that makes sense. Like, there was this moment for me, I was like, oh, and here we go. Like, so I was fine with it.
Yeah. So, you know, basically what ends up happening is, so all the queens come back. So now there's 10 contestants all over again. We do the, you know, four rounds of lip sync competition for your life. And we end up with this. Three out of the four don't get to return. And Latrice is back in the game at this moment.
And the same queens that were at the still in the competition at the top of the show are still in the competition.
Right. And so it really begs this whole thing about like whether or not a returning queen can make it. Because even Trixie talked about she's the only queen that's lasted the longest from returning, and that was only like two episodes. Like after, you know, having already left. So it does not bode well in the history of the series that if you get to come back, that you actually get to stay by any means of the imagination. Which I kind of understand that.
Agreed.
All right. You ready for snaps and eye rolls?
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines and may the best all-star win.
So snaps and eye rolls, hits and misses, the highs and lows for this particular episode. Damon, what do you got snaps for?
So I have two snaps. One is kind of a cute one for Trinity's heart. And it has a lot to do with her. She had a conversation with Farrah and she was kind of explaining to Farrah, like, don't let this. This is a blip. This is a small moment in your potential life as a drag queen. So don't let it hold you back so much. Don't let it take you down as much as you did. And it was a very touching moment for me that I felt was needed at this point. You know, she comments that she has been a drag queen twice as long as Farrah has been. And she says that she understands that there's potential for this to happen, but to not let this kill your, you know, potential, you know, whatever. And I like that. We don't see that often, you know, as we've realized, like a lot of the queens have not been queens that long. And we have, especially in All-Stars, you have very, I'll use the word seasoned queens. You have queens that have been performing for years and years and years. And you have some that have not been performing quite as long, but they're now all bunched together, a la like a regular season. But more so is it focused on during an all-star season.
Right.
So kudos to snaps to Trinity for the heart. And then one of my favorite lines in the whole episode was from RuPaul. And I have to give a snap. So when we send Monique back, returns. So Monique starts talking. I can't remember what she says. But literally right after that, RuPaul goes, "Hold up, motherfucker. We still got a show to do." And it's just like, I laughed out loud. Jim heard me. He's like, "What was so funny?" I had to tell him what it was about. And so to me, that gives a snap because it's just one of those things where, again, we're kind of breaking fourth wall, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Because after that, then she goes through the whole, like, bringing everyone, you know, all together and her whole spiel about you get to set, you know, Shantae, you stay and da, da, da.
Right.
So, yeah.
Good deal. For me in particular, for snaps, I just said serving looks, and it's just for one thing in particular, and it's Manila's runway. Like, that's to me was the penultimate of the episode. I was like, that is Manila. That is, like, without a doubt, her desire, her kooky couture, like, you know, kind of looks deal, and I was eating it up. So that was the thing for me. Your eye rolls, Damon?
I think we've got some similar eye rolls. And my eye rolls are called Fantasy Island. And it has a lot to do with these delusions that the queens have in regards to just the show and themselves in general. Like, we talked about Latrice's sort of, like, dialogue at the beginning where she believes that Monique eliminated her because Monet's her friend and they're season 10 queens and blah, blah, blah. And that's not it at all.
Right.
And I tend to agree with Monique that that's why she eliminated her.
Right.
She doesn't feel that. She feels that Monique's elimination of her was disingenuous and blah, blah, blah. And I want to be like, no. Right. I think you are upset that you got eliminated because you haven't been doing that well.
Right. Right.
So I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Well,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, my eye rolls are Valentina's confirmed delusion has been revealed. She flat out says in confessional, you know, it's my own little world with this own little coconut head of mine. And I was like, girl, we know. But I'm so glad that it's just finally out there that, like, you know, this is all just this, like, strange fantasy dream thing, you know, that you're living in, you know, when at the top of the episode, when she's talking to the whole cast about how, you know, in her world, she was funny and the judges were laughing. And it's like, girl, no, that's not that's not how this works in this case. Anything else, Damon, before we wrap up? What?
Sorry, I literally put in Google like Delusion Valentina, and someone put last week's, all the judges were laughing at my jokes with Valentina, and then underneath it they have Delusion by Jinx. Delusion, convince yourself. It's so,
wow.
It's just one of those, like, yeah, it's awesome. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Nice. So it was just one of these things that was just, it came in my head like, I wonder if someone ever matched those two up. And sure enough, they did.
They did. Craziness. Any final thoughts before we wrap?
Mm-mm.
All right. So it's going to be another lap. We get into episode 7 this coming Friday. And I can't even remember. I saw somewhere online what it was pre-listed as. But anyways, they get put into teams. They get to create their own like nightclubs or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, what, there's 7 of them. So I think it's a team of 2, a team of 2, and a team of 3. At this stage, I would not be surprised if the entire team gets eliminated. And I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. We need to get back on track. Like, we ain't got time for this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make a side mention. I'm already super cranky because season 11 cast is being revealed this coming Thursday at noon on VH1 Live. And I'm like, motherfuckers, could we at least finish All-Stars 4 before we jump into the next thing? No, obviously not, because we're probably doing it back-to-back yet again.
Yep. So we'll be here.
Fuckers. All right. So if you would like to get in touch with us, though, you could go visit our blog at cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email, which is cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Or better yet, you could leave us a voicemail. You could do that at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Social media-wise, just type in Cubs Out Loud as one word. It could be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or other things. If you would like to get in touch with other people who are part of our entourage chat, the Kitty Girls are meeting at tinyurl.com/telegram-coldr. Telegram is a social chat site, a lot like Messenger for Facebook, but better. You can also support Cubs Out Loud by doing a couple of things. You can go to our merchandise store at Zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud. You could get yourself something fun like Damon's wearing today, which is Consent is My Foreplay. That one happens to have a bear paw on it and the bear pride colors. We have other things that are there that, you know, happen to be for episodes in particular for COL Drag Race. I don't have something right now. We've got a crown on our bear logo. I happen to be wearing a shirt that's not available there, but this is in support of our previous retired co-host Chester, the Not Your Average Bear campaign that he's done because he won the title this year. So congratulations, girl. On Patreon, if you're interested, you can subscribe and become a patron for as little as $1 a month, which basically means for less than 25 cents, like, you could be getting 1 to 2 episodes every single week of what we're doing here. You can help promote COL as well. You can rate us on iTunes. You can give us 5 stars. You can give us a thumbs up. Subscribe on Google Play. All that kind of jazz. Damon, if they want to get in touch with you, where are they going to find you at?
They going to find me at TheaterCup79 on most bear sites, or as Pup_Umbra on Twitter.
And if you would like to find me anywhere online, just type in Gerber73, GARBEAR73. And until next week, just remember, babies, that we're all born naked and the rest is drag.